The sun was golden. The people were golden. The countryside of Sweden was golden, and that was where we met. In the golden summer, by a sparkling lake just outside of Stockholm. I was seeking adventure with a fellow friend. We got our passports, small suitcases, and left Colorado together on a trip that would change the trajectory of our lives. I met Creston on the 4th of July. This energetic Dane captured me with his warm personality, welcoming smile, and his embrace that made me melt. In the countryside, by a shimmering lake, Creston and I spent hours on a wooden dock, getting to know each other. Though I was afraid of swimming in water when I couldn't see the bottom, Creston encouraged me to be brave. When he saw my hesitation, he reached out his hand and smiled with warm reassurance. I took his hand and we jumped in together. The most special moments of those days were sitting on the dock, listening to the songs he wrote, walking together in a birch forest, and exploring Gamla Stan, Old Town. When it was time for me to go back to Colorado and for him to return to Copenhagen, he asked me if he could call me. I asked for a good reason to keep in touch. Because I really like you, and I think you are already becoming a special person to me. Say no more. We wrote letters to each other almost weekly. We emailed and Skyped regularly. I was already in love with him after 6 days of being around him. Because of him, I rerouted my practicum to finish in an international school north of Stockholm. We started dating exclusively in January, when we were in the same country. I was offered a job in March, so I had to go back to the States while my work visa was being processed. The job fell through, so Creston decided to put matters into his own hands and propose on a perfect May morning, 2 days after my graduation. We were married on the 30th of October, 2011, and we honeymooned in a nearly abandoned ski resort on a snowy mountainside. We spent the week glued to the pull-out sofa, staying warm by the fire and watching my collection of DVDs. I made a honeymoon playlist that we listened to on repeat, and even to the week he died, whenever Northern Sky, The Memory Tree, and Falling Slowly came up, he never failed to mention that it was from our honeymoon. My Swedish work visa came 5 days after the wedding. I worked as an art teacher, and Creston as a music teacher and a ballet rehearsal pianist. We were soon expecting a baby after only 1 year of being married. Tragically, we lost the baby girl, and soon after, decided to move to one of our favorite towns, Copenhagen. In July 2014, we had our daughter, Ella. A new pride I've never seen in Creston ignited, and that light never went out. In June 2016, we had Gabriel. He was born in the comfort and peace of our home. Creston took on the role of fatherhood with full resolve to give them his very best. In 2019, we became residents of Colorado. The children started at the most wonderful school, and the staff became such close friends. I introduced Creston to several of my college friends, who welcomed us into their circles in no time. When he died, he had at least 7 friends who called Creston their best friend. He knew how to form deep and lasting friendships after moments with strangers. It is those same friends who have been steadfast companions and pillars for me in my most trying moments. I became a registered nurse in 2022, and Creston supported me 100% during my entire education. He took care of the children while I worked. He tirelessly produced his music and worked with several incredible ballet academies. He was working with the Colorado Ballet Academy on the day he died. They were such a joy to him. In 2020, Creston and I decided to write our last wills because death surrounded us all due to the pandemic. When Creston sent me his file attached in an email, the email only said one thing: May we grow old together. He had such beautiful dreams, hopes, and plans for our future. After he died, grief was by my side, suffocating my every day and my every minute because Creston was my every day and every minute. Even when he was alive, I looked for reasons to bring him into conversations. He was on my mind constantly, and I sent him messages throughout the day, either to check in, make a plan, or send a video that I knew he would laugh at, or just to tell him that I miss him. He was always close and within reach. I still send messages to his phone. I can't help myself. I tell him about something one of the kids did that he'd be so proud of, or just tell him that I miss him. I guess I do it as an outlet because my longing would otherwise tear a hole in my heart. I still can't manage the tension that my longing causes in my chest.